mercy to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. The text is the Holy Gospel. Please be seated. Dear brothers and sisters of Jesus, to be a disciple of Jesus means to be blessed. Blessed by his cross and his resurrection from the dead. To be blessed by Jesus is to be given a life from him as the crucified and risen one. There are 9 blessings in the text today from our Lord's lips. And with each blessing from him to you, the gap between you and the crowd widens. The Lord's blessings are quite a puzzle and a scandal to the world around us. Most people don't want any part of Jesus' blessings given through his word today in the text, but not you. You are here to be blessed by the Lord. His first blessing is this: blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Poor in spirit. Who are the poor in spirit? Those are the ones who look to Jesus for everything spiritual. The poor in spirit have no spiritual power in themselves. The poor in spirit are nothing, and Jesus is everything. The poor in spirit are only spiritual beggars. All they have is Jesus. And Jesus is all that they need. And buried deeply within this spiritual poverty is an immense treasure possessed by faith in Jesus, the kingdom of heaven. The kingdom of heaven, yes indeed, that's Jesus. He's the heavenly king, and he reigns for you, his baptized disciple, with his bloody wounds for all of you to see. He reigns over you with his Good Friday blood, and from his royal forgiveness or pardon comes life and salvation. The fruit of our Lord's absolution will be the resurrection of the body and life everlasting. This is his blessing for you, the poor in spirit. Yours is the kingdom of heaven, both now and forever. The second blessing: blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. We know as Christians that we live in the end times. We as disciples of Jesus do not believe the seductive lie that personal and worldly utopias can be achieved through radical individualism and then ironically through her handmaiden collectivist tyranny. Disciples mourn because they refuse to be in tune with the world. You mourn because you refuse to accommodate to the world's standards. You mourn because you refuse to sing peace, peace, when there is no peace. You mourn because the day of judgment is coming when Jesus will separate the sheep from the goats and no one in the world gives a rip. The world believes that there will be no end. And so it's party on, dude. But we know that the days are growing short. The world is passing away. And Christ's coming in glory on the last day to judge the living and the dead is at hand. And yet the world parties and rocks on, oblivious that it will all come to a crashing end. In addition, you, his disciples, mourn for your own sin and what your sin has done to others. The deep and immense pain that your sin has caused others. The divisions, the devastated and ruined relationships, the heartaches, the irreparable harm. You disciples of Jesus have a more sensitive awareness of your sin. And when you're forgiven, you can take an honest look at yourself, and it's not pretty. The rot goes pretty deep, and it causes you to weep. And you bear these sorrows, or whatever other sorrows that you may endure. And by bearing them, you bear witness to Jesus, who bore the world's griefs and carried the world's sorrows on the cross. Disciples of Jesus then are open to sorrow. You don't reject it because you follow Jesus. And from Jesus comes the promise in the text: you will be comforted. Jesus is your comfort. His death on the cross and his word of the cross are your consolation, both now and forever. Blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the earth. Who are the meek? Well, they too are the ones who trust only in Jesus, who put their lives in his hands, who wait patiently for his help, who are confident that no matter what, he will vindicate them. Now, meekness is not a wimpish, walk all over me kind of thing. Instead, meekness is an incredible strength that is hidden under its opposite. And the strength of meekness is this: it lets Jesus be Jesus. He is the Savior, we are not. It is exactly what St. Paul writes to the Corinthians. He said, when I am weak, then I am strong. In other words, when I finally learn to trust and rely only on Jesus, that's finally when I'm strong. Meekness claims no rights with Jesus. Meekness lives only and to and from Jesus. So when you are reviled for being a disciple, you just simply say nothing and you take it. When you are slapped on the cheek because of being a follower of Jesus, you offer your other one as well. As a follower of Jesus, when you are robed of your cloak, you also offer your tunic. As a disciple of Jesus, when you are cursed, what do? You bless. As a disciple of Jesus, then, meekness means that you love your enemies and you do good to those who hate you. You pray for those who would do harm to you, because you know that revenge is left to God. That's meekness in the way of Jesus, who as a lamb led to the slaughter, didn't open his mouth when his enemies mocked him and brought the greatest injustice to him. His death was an innocent death for a guilty world, but yet the enormous power of God was hidden and yet revealed in the meekness of his death. And this is the hidden meekness of you, his disciples. You live under the promise that on the last day you will inherit the earth, the new heaven and the new earth that is yet to come. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be satisfied. Disciples of Jesus know the hunger pangs and spiritual hunger, and they know the pain of spiritual thirst. And they leave behind the smorgasbord of religion by merit, self-justification, and the insistence of rights. Disciples of Jesus know that there is no righteousness of their own. Instead, disciples hunger and thirst for the righteousness of Jesus himself, and that is living only on the promise that Jesus is your righteousness, that Jesus is the bread of life, that Jesus is the cup of salvation to drink. And you, his disciples, then are filled, satisfied in the foretaste of the feast to come, the Lord's Supper. Blessed are the merciful, for they will receive mercy. No act of mercy for a disciple of Jesus is too low. No distress is too great. No sin is too appalling. For disciples of Jesus are drawn to help the sick, the troubled, the wretched, the miserable, the tortured, the downtrodden, the disenfranchised, the imprisoned. Disciples don't care what others think or say about their acts of mercy. Disciples overflow with mercy for others because they have been mercied by Jesus himself. And his mercy extends to everyone. Jesus mercied tax collectors and prostitutes. He bent down low to help the sick, the dispossessed, the demon-possessed, and the desperate. His death on the cross is total mercy to everyone. And so disciples of Jesus are eager to let Christ's mercy flow to others just as they have received mercy now, and then finally, once again, on the last day. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God. The pure in heart are those whose hearts have been cleansed with the blood of Jesus, those who believe in him, those who are poor in spirit, and they see God in Jesus. For Jesus is God in the flesh, and then on the last day, fully. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called sons of God. Ah, you have peace with God through Jesus' blood. His Calvary wounds bring you peace before God because he is the Prince of Peace. And so, you, his disciples, bring the peace of his cross to the world. How do you do that? By forgiving sin. By pardoning sinners with Jesus' peace. Overcoming evil with good. Suffering hatred and violence for the sake of peace. Refusing to inflict violence on other people. Disciples carry the peace of our Lord's cross into a world of hatred and hostility. Disciples stand with Jesus' cross that brings peace and reconciliation for the world. The world hates disciples of Prince of Peace Jesus, just like it hated Jesus himself. And so then you are sons of God. And then the last blessing. Blessed are you when people revile you and persecute you and say all kinds of evil against you because of me. Rejoice and be glad, for your reward is great in heaven. After all, this is exactly how the prophets were treated too. Disciples of Jesus, just like Jesus himself, are a threat to the world. Our Lord's cross leaves an indelible mark on all of you. Hatred and persecution, then, will come. And it does come to Christians. Why? Because you believe in Jesus and not the idols of the world. Because your mercy is considered menacing. Because your poverty in Christ is too powerful. Because your suffering for Christ's sake is just too strong. And Jesus tells us, rejoice and be glad, for great is your reward in heaven. At the end, brothers and sisters, on the last day, you will see it. You will see that truly you are blessed in all of this, just as he says in the text. For when Jesus comes to judge the living and the dead, you will stand in his light with the prophets, the apostles, the saints, the martyrs, with blessed Mary, Paul, James, John, and all who have fallen asleep in Jesus. And you will behold that you, like they, are all blessed. And then there will be no more tears in your eyes, and you will sit at the heavenly banquet and be filled forever. Now, we are given simply to believe these promises from Jesus in these blessings. But then at the end, by sight, blessed are you. In the name of Jesus. Amen. Now may the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, keep your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.